take your scriptures now, your Bibles in your hands, and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So having finished Romans, we now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're reading this morning verses 1 through 17. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 17. Beloved, hear now the words of the living God. These are inerrant, infallible, sufficient words for us, God's people. Paul called as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you were not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you are called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by closed people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. Thus far in the word of the Lord. So Paul begins this letter to the church in Corinth stating that he has been called as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And not has been, but is called. And this is because there were many among the Corinthians who questioned his apostleship. So if we get to 2 Corinthians, Lord willing, some there vilified his person and ministry because of this, because of who he was. We are reminded in that even the most faithful and useful ministers, useful elders, are not beyond contempt inside or outside the church of Jesus Christ. Besides this, verses 1 through 9, our typical opening of a letter from Paul. And he thanks the church for their abundance here of spiritual gifts. That's what the church in Corinth is famous for. If you know anything about 1 Corinthians or the church in Corinth, they are known for their spiritual gifts. And in the last verses 8 and 9, he gives great encouragement to the church. The same encouragement to you of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will confirm you to the end, and make you blameless, sanctify you completely. And he says God is faithful to do so. Because if you're called into fellowship with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is faithful. He will see you all the way home. Even as we read in the call to worship, even in that judgment for you upon Babylon. But now there are some major issues in the church of Corinth, and we find that summarized in verses 10 to 13. There's division. There's division in the church. And the admonishment to them is that they must agree in all things. Things of the gospel and doctrine of the scriptures. Where does unity come from? We've heard this many times before. Where does unity come from? Is it in being tolerant? No. It comes from the truth of God found in His Word. That's what God says Himself. And all of us centering our lives around the truth of His Word, around God, that's where unity comes from. And so they and we are called here to be of the same mind and the same judgment. But in the church in Corinth, there are quarrels among them. Some are saying that we're of Paul, others were of Apollos, others were of Cephas, others we are of Christ. But as these are Christ's, His saints, Paul asks, has Christ, has His body been divided? The answer is clearly no. And if His body has not been divided, stop your division and pursue unity through the truth. Because Christ did not send me, Paul, to be baptized, but to preach the gospel which you must unite around. The doctrine, the faith of the church. And here we come to another major doctrine in 1 Corinthians as we begin it. Verse 17, which will be he'll be expanding from many verses through this chapter and the chapters after this, the preaching of the gospel. Preaching of the gospel is not with eloquent words where you get your ears tickled. That is, you hear things that kind of like from what you might hear from a false prophet like Joel Osteen, false teacher like him, where everything is positive, everything makes you feel good about yourself. That's not the preaching of the gospel where you're satisfied in yourself upon hearing. It is not grand wisdom like you would hear from the philosophers of this world. I know if it were like that, Paul says that the cross of Christ would be emptied of its power. Rather, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll see in the coming verses to the world, is much like speaking foolishness. In the eyes of the world, it looks like foolishness. What we're doing here today and taking part in the hearing and me for the preaching of it is foolishness to the world. It comes by inadequate men most often who are not very good speakers, who are not very good in appearance themselves, just like Paul, who was short and didn't look like a great speaker. He was not a good speaker, as it talks about in other parts of Scripture. Rather, the preaching of the gospel often comes through those who are bad speakers, who God uses for His glory, showing through their weakness the power of the gospel. So that Christ is seen in all His glory and power, even through a weak and foolish method, through men. And that is the opening of 1 Corinthians. Let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You and thank You for this congregation which You have given us, each other, where You have caused for so many years, at least as far as we know, the Word of God to be proclaimed boldly and clearly and definitively, with contrast between what is true of the church, true of a true believer in Jesus Christ and the world. That the sacraments have been clearly and adequately performed according to Your Word. Though in these things, even in our worship, we pray that You would continue to grow us in our sanctification, our knowledge of what we ought to be doing, because You command us that we ought to worship in spirit with our hearts and according to truth. And Father, may it be so in this place and in the church throughout the world, that we would worship according to Your Word, that we would not, as Deuteronomy 12 says, add to Your Word and Your worship or take away from it. That we would worship according exactly how You command us to worship, because this is Your worship, not our worship. And that we come before Your throne now. You do not come before us, or we worship, You worship us, but we come before You spiritually, being strengthened by Your Spirit and by the blood of Christ who's made a way into the Holy of Holies, where we are in the very presence of God now. Coming before Your throne of grace boldly in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we ask that as we come, you would continue to grow us in our unity with one another, that there would be no division amongst us, but that we would image that church and relationship of a husband and a wife, that the husband and wife would image that relationship of Christ in the church, that we would be modeling that before not only ourselves and each other, but before the world. That even the world, even ourselves, would daily remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, hearing it. The world would hear, the world would come into these doors and in this place, wherever we gather to worship, wherever it might be. That we would hear the gospel and believe, that they would do so as well. And we would be sanctified. So unite us through the truth of the gospel and through your word, the doctrines that we find therein. And Father, we would ask that you would cause us never to look at the man behind the pulpit, but that we would see the power in the weak, through the weakness of men, the power of the gospel, the power of God unto salvation through the preaching of the word, that we would have ears to hear, that you would give us what the confession says, the conscionable hearing of the word. Grow us in that. Active listeners, each and every one of us, so that we would grow in Christ. Lord, send your Spirit, for we need lots of work. Lord, clothe us with the righteousness of Christ Jesus, and make us holy as you are holy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.